Our epistle lesson this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. You may follow along on page 225 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. They might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past Wednesday afternoon, our presbytery hosted a prayer and conversation gathering. The intention was to address the very present need to pray for all that's going on in the world, particularly gun-related violence. Pastor Rebecca Johns of Bethlehem Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville introduced the time of prayer with an image of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. You may recall his words, "Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." She made the claim that Jesus no doubt had more words to be said in between those words. She imagined they were laced with anguish, perhaps even with fear. She related this time between to our time, a time when Christians maybe wish that the trouble in this world could just pass us by, that we could escape the news and pretend all is well. Let this cup of suffering pass by us, Lord. When I was in Montreat, North Carolina, at the youth conference with our youth and my family a couple weeks ago, I was struck by how tempting it can be to retreat into the mountains and leave the struggling, suffering world below. But each day, I would turn on the news, which I probably shouldn't have done, just to see if what had happened the night before, because as we've come to expect, violence has become a daily reality. Each day, the keynote speakers would again bring our focus back to the world in need. Each night's service would remind us that we cannot remain above it all. In this mountaintop experience, we must go back down into the world that's messed up. It even struck me as somewhat poignant that that stone entrance to Montreat, many of you know it, raise your hand if you've seen it, it's shaped like an M, you know it, had actually been struck by a vehicle probably too tall, and parts of it were crumbling down, and you couldn't actually pass under it, you had to go around it. Even a place like Montreat is not safe from destruction and damage that happens in this world. If Jesus, who we are reminded of in Hebrews as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, had fear, then I think we can expect to as well. For some Christians, living in these uncertain times means we need to pretend we are immune to the illness of violence in the world, avoid the news, live in a bubble of denial, pretend that as long as our little world is stable, so will be the rest of life. But that is not God's way for us. The passage from Hebrews begins with a very familiar verse. Many of you know it. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The word for assurance can also be translated substance. In other words, faith is not merely a wish. It is acting as if the things that God is bringing to be are here. The passage gives us clues by going on to describe our ancestors of faith, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so forth, the multitude of saints who died for their faith. You can read about the rest of that in chapter 11. Again and again, their stories are moving us to different places, defying kings, enduring painful deaths, the substance, the stuff that they did, all because of their faith in things unseen. What were those things? Perhaps God's ushering in harmony and peace and joy. They believed all this was possible from a God who created the world from nothing, who can raise life from death. All of them died without seeing the promises fulfilled. Notice that. Without visible proof of that substance of their faith. And yet they believed that not even death could separate them from God. They knew that the fullness of God's heavenly country through faith was not one that they would see in their own lifetime, much like Moses gazing upon the promised land, but not entering it in his life. But it was their faith that kept them yearning for that. It was their faith that kept them sacrificing for it. It was their faith that kept them longing for it, even when it meant displacement, disappointment, and death. The Montreat Conference theme, which you heard Marshall deliver a report from last week, was entitled A World of Difference. All these saints literally made a world of difference because of their faith. Out of Abraham and Sarah, descendants were born as many as we were told the stars of heaven, innumerable as the grains of sand on the seashore. All these saints lived in times of violence. All of them suffered injustice. All of them longed for a world that was different. And yet all of them made a world of difference because they trusted more in God, who makes all things possible, than a world that says certain things are impossible. They trusted fully in a God who can bring life out of death more than a world that says you must kill in order to protect life. They trusted in a God who showed us in Jesus Christ how to be a real king, one who is willing to take the front line against the forces of sin and darkness and die in order that the subjects might live. They trusted that Jesus was true to his words, which we read in Luke's gospel. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Friends, the stories of our ancestors of our faith are not stories of extraordinary people, but rather of people who trust wholeheartedly in an extraordinary God. Do you know their stories? Do you believe that God can do the same thing today through you? Are you using the eyes of faith God has given you to see what God is doing in your life? And are you trusting that God will lead you into this world to make a difference? This fall, we will begin that story curriculum as Sherry told you about. You will have an opportunity, all of you, to dig into the faith stories from those in this passage and many more. I am convinced that knowing the stories of our ancestors' faith encourages us during these kind of times in our world when all hope can seem lost. You may know these stories and think, well, I know that. I don't need to come. But I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are new all the time. Fresh insights. Viewing them with different eyes, both as we look inward and outward. For God is continuing to write our story. So I encourage you to come. beginning September 11th, read that story of God along with your story. Find that fresh inspiration, that renewed hope, and that can challenge to make a difference in this world. We are the saints, like them, ordinary women and men, whom God has chosen to do extraordinary things through. So for today, when you leave this place, what will you do? Will you live into that hope, assured that God is at work in you and around you, and that God is calling you to make a difference? I pray you do. I pray I do. All praise, thanks to God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gives us a life worth living in Jesus Christ. Amen.